Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the customs post. He said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. While Jesus was at table in Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat with Jesus and his disciples. The Pharisees saw this and said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus heard this and said, "Those who are well do not need a physician, but the sick do. Go and learn the meaning of the words, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners.'" The Gospel of the Lord. What an extraordinary scene. Matthew sitting at his customs post, surrounded by money. The tax collectors in the ancient world were the mafia dons, because they used soldiers to extort money from their own people. The way tax collection worked was that you were assessed a certain amount of money for a location. Anything you got beyond that was yours to keep. And when you would bribe soldiers to go with you to tell families that they owed far more than what was just, they'd give it or they might risk losing everything. Just like mafia dons shake down businesses for protection. And that's why they were so despised. Not only were they working for a foreign country, not only were they dealing in coinage with the foreign leader depicted as a god, but they were also shaking down their own people. And Jesus went in to this area in which there was someone with a reputation for being the worst of public sinners and said, "I want you." So powerful were Jesus' words to "follow me" that Matthew was able to leave everything behind, his money on the table, just like Peter, Andrew, James, and John left their boats and the biggest catch of fish in their life to be able to follow the Lord. What do we learn from this? Jesus is constantly going towards sinners. He's not waiting for the sinners to approach him, but he goes out to find and to call to follow. And what was it? He didn't go pointing a finger saying, "Get the hell out of here. What are you doing?" There was a particular characteristic about him that when this holy man drew near and gave a sinner, even a great sinner, the time of day, took him seriously and said, "I want you." The power of that holiness, the power of that affirmation that would come from Jesus taking this sinner whom everybody else despised seriously was enough for him to cut off his hands and his feet and pluck out his eyes and go cling to the one who would make him whole. We learn a ton from this in terms of the way we approach others and the way that the Lord approaches us. Our vocation has everything to do with our being sinners. Jesus did not come to call the righteous. He didn't say the self-righteous here. He said the righteous, because he knows, with the exception of his mother, that we're all sinners. And yet he has drawn near to us, and each of us have had one or many more experiences like St. Matthew did, when we experience the Lord's own loving glance despite it all. And we got up and we followed him. And he continues to come to meet us every day to get us up from our customary posts, from the places in our routines and everything else where we're secure, to call us far more deeply. But then second, He wants to transform us so that together with Him, we might be able to go into those crowds of sinners and with a different type of glance, take them seriously and call them to follow the Lord. Pope Francis, in his primer on preaching, gave a very important psychological insight that I think is essential for the entirety of Christian missionary work, which is, in order to be effective, you've got to look beyond the sins of those to whom you're preaching. Look beyond them. Doesn't mean ignore them, but to see something way beyond just the sinful behavior. When Christ looked at Matthew, He saw far more than a sinful tax collector and all the choices. He saw who He really was, whom He had made it to be. And Pope Francis is calling us to do the same. That if we were to go into a place surrounded by active homosexuals, we should be the ones, for example, who see that they're all beloved sons and daughters of God first. First and foremost. We're going to call them from their sin, but first we're going to call them to be whom God created them to be. And if they're engaged in a particular pattern of sinful behavior, that's not leading them to happiness in this world and the next. But to look beyond and to give them that type of glance that would make them say that compared to all these other crutches and pearls in my collection, I'm going to let them all be left behind because I am now going to go out and seize with joy that treasure, that most precious pearl. It's essential for us. The Pharisees here, that term in Hebrew means the separated ones, because of the way that they tried to live what the scribes taught to its minutiae. They wanted to separate themselves from everything dealing with sin, including other sinners. So that's why they were scandalized that Jesus, who had this reputation for holiness, was not just talking to sinners, but sharing bread with sinners, sitting down and being with them, not blessing their sinful behavior, but being in the midst of them to call them through friendship to different behavior. They couldn't understand it. And there are many of us in religious life, in the priesthood, etc., who likewise stand athwart and judge. We can pray like that Pharisee in the Gospel, "Thank you, Lord, for not making me like all those other losers." But the Lord wants to transform us by His calling us in His mercy from our sins, to make that the echo of our life, so that we can be His mystical body going into these circumstances. If you want to use Caravaggio, being the outstretched hand pointing to others, calling them to follow us and following the Lord in the exodus from sin into union with the Lord and life. Last week, I was in Rome leading a pilgrimage of journalists. And what was beautiful for me is we started off, because it was a Sunday when we arrived, with a tour of the great saints of church reform, I call them. And we passed by the church that was closed at the time for its Sunday reposo of San Giovanni ai Fiorentini, the place where St. Philip Neri used to hear confessions, and the group just wanted a little bit of a story there. And I said, well, this is where St. Philip used to live, and this is where he would be his confessional, and he used to come out to this street corner, and he'd say, "Amici, quando cominceremo fare il bene?" Friends, when are we going to start to do good? And just by his cheerfulness, he was able one by one to reform Rome. And then the next church we went to was the Chiesa Nuova, the new church. It's only 422 years old, but that's where St. Philip was buried. And again, they wanted some more stories of St. Philip, because it was his appeal after centuries of calling us all to do good, calling us to our better halves, to be all that we can be, whatever you want to say, toward holiness, that was really quite compelling. And it will always be. We're called to do in New York what Philip did in Rome. one last point. You have been chosen for this. Today's first reading, we see that beautiful arranged marriage that Abraham, our father in faith, has so much to teach. And in faith, he recognized that if his descendants were to remain faithful to the Lord, that he had to concern himself very much with the bride that Isaac would choose, through whom his grandsons and all those generations would come. And he didn't want it to be among the pagan Canaanite women, no matter how beautiful and tall they were, etc. So he sent his servant to find an appropriate wife. We only get certain excerpts here of what the criteria that Abraham was looking for. But he knew that it was essential to choose someone through whom the promise would be able to be maintained. Someone who would live the covenant with Isaac, the son of the promise. If you think Abraham cared that much about the wife of his son, how much more did God the Father choose you to be called, to be united by his mercy, so that as these beautiful advertisements, you're able to go out and show the whole world that this mercy still exists, calling people to God, to happiness, to holiness, and to heaven. Today is the same Lord Jesus who called Matthew and ate with sinners, comes here on this altar to reiterate his call to us and eat with us despite all our sins. Let us ask him to do in us what he did with Matthew and fill us with gratitude for that call. Let us together in this Eucharist give thanks to the Lord, for he is so, so very, very good. Praise be Jesus Christ.